Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. As we focus on education here this morning, got some guests here from USD 3-3 Manhattan Ogden Schools, including Superintendent Marvin Wade and Board Member Kristen Brighton. Good morning to both of you.
Morning, Brandon.
Pleasure to have you both on. We've also invited a couple of principals here from the district to be on the program. We have Eisenhower Middle School Principal Tracy Newell on the Zoom call this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Erica Bamas, who is the principal over at Lee Elementary. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. It's a pleasure to have you all here because yesterday was an exciting day, I think, in the district. It's been something that's been kind of a long time coming here. Normally, we wouldn't say that in a typical year, but getting back to five-day-a-week in person on January 5th yesterday had to be pretty exciting at both the middle school and the elementary school. Tracy, I'll start with you. What was it like yesterday just getting to that point in the year?
Well, not having, you know, all of our students back since last March and then not even having our remote students back, we have a little over 400 students coming in, and I want to start back last fall with some of the preparation for this. We had a schedule last fall that was under the hybrid, which all of you I'm sure are aware of. But at middle school, we were a little bit different. We had some issues with who was going to be, how many we had in remote and how many were going to be in the building. So we went with a schedule at both Anthony and Eisenhower that had our in-building teachers teaching one section of remote students throughout that whole first semester. We were able to, with some blessing from central office and Dr. Wade and Eric Reed, to build a remote team of teachers for second semester, just dedicated to developing instruction for the remote students. And then the in-building teachers could focus just on their in-building sections that they have, which allowed us also to build an extra period of teaching in the building to help bring class sizes down a little bit. And our staff counselors have done a phenomenal job with a lot of adaptation throughout, starting in summer and then preparing for second semester, a little bit different look. But we're blessed to be able to offer this and have all of our students back in. We looked at some mitigation of cafeteria feeding, 100 instead of 50 during a lunch period, able to spread kids out so they can take their masks off and eat lunch safely. Morning supervision, we're doing some things with that, with the library and the gym and the cafeteria to spread kids out in morning supervision. Classes are all around that 20 to 21, 22 mark. The staff, we worked on Monday to try to brainstorm on what's the best way to try to keep socially distanced as much as possible. That's always been the goal, and follow those guidelines of mask wearing, which I'll have to give kudos to our students on. They've done a phenomenal job with that. They really do. The parents should know that as well, that their students at school, we've had very few instances where we've had to talk to a student about that. Yesterday was no different. They came back in from a break. Occasionally we'll have a student that forgets a mask. Hey, that happens to all of us. And so we have those extra masks in the office, the disposables. And so we're gung-ho to get all students back. And I thought it went pretty well. Students did a great job. Staff was prepared, I believe, for there's still some anxiety and nervousness, I think, about having, more kids back in the building. And we'll hope and pray that this works well for us, which I believe it will. And we're doing some things with our athletics. Our league has voted to limit spectators to home crowd only, and then two per participant, two per athlete for our basketball. So we're getting ready for that coming up. I think we start next week with our boys basketball. Our bowling program kicked off yesterday. I think we have about 25 participants in that. We've pared down the number of teams that will participate at those events to two instead of four. And then there'll be no spectators for that. But that was Acacia ruling for us. But all in all, I mean, I think our clubs, and we did a good job with clubs continuing on Zoom. Some of those we'll be able to do in person now because kids are here every day. We're excited about that. And we'll do, you know, what we normally do is social distance during those clubs. We started our drama, our play practices this yesterday. And our plays are going to be one and two, three act, you know, three person short act plays. So we'll have a number of those rather than one big play. So all in all, I mean, I'm very optimistic about how things are going and keeping all of our students back in.
Very good. Well, you have a different kind of population down there at Lee Elementary, Mrs. Baumes, Baumes, excuse me. Tell us about kind of how the first day back went for you out there and how the kids are doing.
Yeah. So our building is a K-6 building, so a little bit different from our middle school, younger population. There was lots of excitement in the air yesterday. It just, everything feels right now that we have everybody back in the building where they're supposed to be. That's the on-site students, of course. If parents elected to keep students in remote, we still have our remote school, which is separate, a remote school for the elementary. So here at Lee, though, our teachers have worked really hard to prep and be ready for this. We had to do some adjustment to our schedules and look at our classrooms and try to spread our desks out even more since we weren't going to be split into two groups anymore. And then we do a daily virtual assembly every day here at Lee, and I get on and just share different announcements with our students, and we do some different mindfulness and stretching. But one of the things we've been doing to prepare is practicing, how do we wear our mask appropriately? How do we take it on and off when it's time for us to eat or take a drink? And also just washing our hands and knowing when to wash our hands, because we're washing, you know, once an hour, and then at other times as well, such as before and after we go out to the playground. And then, of course, just learning what it means to be socially distanced and stay as far apart as we can, even though we maybe are not always able to stay 6 feet apart, but we're able to limit the number of close contacts by ensuring we have the kind of the same students sitting by each other. So just lots of excitement here yesterday, and excited to be back.
Yeah, exciting.
With everyone here.
Exciting seems to be the key word. I know I spoke to my daughter yesterday, and she was pretty happy that she got to go to the lunchroom yesterday. And so that sounds pretty nice, because I know last semester sounds like they mostly ate in the classrooms.
Yes, and that's a little different at each building, kind of based on what each building has going on. Here at Lee, we still have our younger population, K-2, that's eating in the cafeteria, socially distanced, of course. And then our older students are going back to their classrooms to eat. And we do look forward, though, to the day when we can get everybody back in the cafeteria. Right now, we're just trying to really mitigate as best as we can, so feel it's best to try to spread those kiddos out and have some eat in their classrooms.
Tracy, I might ask you here, as far as the lockers go at Eisenhower, are kids able to go to their lockers all at once, or do you have to space that out? How's that work?
We've decided not to use the lockers starting from the beginning of the year, and that came up even when we do that second semester. We have our band kids that can drop their instruments in the band room first thing in the day, which we've always had that. We had teachers talk about that on Monday, how they wanted to facilitate the backpacks and the coats in their classrooms, which we've never had. My experience with high school, for example, they don't use lockers, so they made it work at the high school level. And I think just for the time being, for this semester, it's very crowded at those lockers during a passing period. It does help, not using the lockers does mitigate a little bit for us and getting kids from one class to the next. I might add too that I wanted to touch on what Erica said. Following through was we're cleaning the desks every hour at the end of the hour, as we did before. We have hand sanitizer. A lot of staff just meet their students at the door with a squirt bottle, and they have them sanitize their hands when they're coming in. So we're doing what we can to mitigate, and not using the lockers was one of those steps that we decided to stay with.
Okay. I have a phone call here. Someone has a comment or a question here, so we'll let them come on the air. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Yes, you're very well-educated, very well-spoken people with a good capability of shaping the conversation. However, as a grandparent and former parent of Manhattan, Kansas school children, and now still a taxpayer, I want to suggest that, yes, some children do not do well in remote learning. Some children do not do well in brick and mortar. But at this time, with the another ramp in the disease of C19, we, as parents and the teachers I talk to, are just as scared. We send our little petri dish in there to your chaos at school, and then we get back whatever germ is going around. It's through history, through all the years, nothing has changed. And I want to express to you, I backed you on your gym, public gyms, for building all that building stuff, but I just hope that another vote doesn't come up to have us parents and grandparents who are afraid that you're sending our little petri dish home with something that's going to kill grandma and grandpa, that we're not going to support you in any future endeavors. Thank you for your consideration.
Well, I might bring on board member Kristen Brighton or Superintendent Wade if you want to respond to
I'd be happy to respond to that. That couple different comments. I do appreciate people coming on, sharing their thoughts, that we're aware that there's concerns about the safety of the students and the staff and really anybody in our community, because, you know, as we know, it is a global pandemic. It's serious. Hospitalizations are up. Deaths are up. There's significant concern, not only from the caller, but from us. And that's one of the reasons why it took us 2 months of time between saying in November to now about us, our plans to open up 5 days a week with on-site students so that we could get these mitigation measures in place. No, it's not, there's no guarantee, but we've added staff. We've put in partition where we need to. As Tracy and Erica spoke to, we've made modifications in our lunchroom areas, those kind of things. There's been a lot of things that have been done, and we're going to do our part to try to keep the school safe. And he's right. We are eloquent. We are good spokes. We understand this process and we can answer to it. And pretty much any time, any place, we will. And we need these opportunities for our students. And as far as the aspect of chaos, our schools are, there is not chaos in our schools. Okay. One of the things with our medical advisory group that we've talked about would be one of the aspects of us opening up is that our students are in some cases safer at school than they are in other environments, because we do have the sanitizers, the masking, the protocols in place. So, and I guess another comment to that would be the parents have a choice. I know in a lot of cases it's, you know, 383 is our school district. If they have school, we will send our kids, but there are choices. We've given opportunities on multiple occasions to go remote as opposed to on-site. There are other options for people who did not agree with us. So I could go on and on and on, but I understand his concerns. We take them seriously, but I think this is the right move and I'll stand behind it. But it, and if something were to occur where we, part, that's part of this whole mitigation aspect would be, if something were unfortunately to occur, we are in a position where we can pivot to another direction if we need to, whether it's going back to hybrid or going to all distance learning. That's been part of our conversations ever since last March. That anybody else want to say anything?
I'll just reiterate that I think the district has done a phenomenal job thinking through every possible scenario, figuring out how to mitigate risk as much as possible. But I think it's been the observation of the medical community and the district that a lot of the problems and a lot of the positive cases have occurred outside of school. And so we really need the community to remain vigilant and following all the social distancing rules, wearing masks, making sure that we're sanitizing all the time. But the big thing is just not congregating in groups outside of daily life, especially without wearing masks and following all the rules. And if we want to keep the kids in school, the community is going to have to be dedicated to keeping this up. If cases continue to increase and we have to look at other measures, I think we're all on this call confident that the problems aren't going to happen in the buildings. They're going to be things that have happened after school and on weekends, and problems were brought back into the buildings, people passing the virus around outside of the building. So we're confident to give this a try, but we need the community to be actively involved in supporting this decision.
All right. Well, Tracy, Erica, I know you guys have to run, but we got to take a break as well. Thank you so much, and good luck this semester.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Thanks for having us on.
You
bet. Have a great day.
More in focus after this on News Radio KMAN.